Hello, and thank you for joining the December 15th, 2018 Worldwide Fellowship Call run by the Debtors Anonymous Resource Development Committee on the topic of prosperity, Promise 7, and the power of generosity. Please remember to keep your phone set to mute to minimize extraneous noise while the speakers are sharing today. How in DA are we able to let go of deprivation and fear around money and allow the spirit of generosity into our lives? The DA literature on service attempts to answer this question, and I quote, "How is service related to our money and our higher power?" When we first came to DA, many of us were convinced that having enough money would be the answer to our problems. We began to experience a new perspective when we gave service. We learned that as we give of our time and talents, our higher power will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We realize that our needs are being met and we have more than enough. Service to the fellowship is service to our higher power, to our fellows, and ultimately to ourselves. When we become willing to contribute, to give back, the God of our understanding meets us more than halfway. We begin to experience the freedom from fear of financial insecurity that is promised in DA. And as our lives begin to change, we continue to give from a newfound sense of gratitude." End quote. Today's call offers us the courage, strength, and hope of three fellows, Linda Y. from Pennsylvania, Bill B. from Northern California, and Tom B. from the LA area, on the topic of Promise 7, Prosperity, and the Power of Generosity. But before I introduce Linda, please allow me to reread DA's Promise 7. We will recognize that there is enough. Our resources will be generous, and we will share them with others and with DA. Now, before I introduce Linda Y., I need to take a quick moment to mention that due to some technological difficulties during the live Worldwide Fellowship call, the recording of that call started somewhat late, plus there was background noise until midway through the second speaker. Putting those technological difficulties to the side, I hope you will enjoy this call. Here is the first speaker, Linda Y.
That was available to me because other members of DA were generously giving back to Debtors Anonymous. I came out of my self-imposed isolation, found the 12 steps of DA, worked them with a sponsor, and started using the DA tools. Gradually, I realized that God was doing for me what I had proven three times that I could not do for myself. My solvency date is February 6th of 2010. I paid off all of my credit card debts by January of 2014. My final mortgage payment was made on December 4th of 2018. Today, I only have reoccurring monthly expenses to pay, such as tithing to my church, selected charities, and DA. I'm able to thrive with five for my group. I use bill pay to get a donation to the general service office. I make quarterly donations to my inner group. And now I can use my debit card to make donations when I attend a DA phone meeting. The DA principles guided me through a solvent retirement after a 45-year career in nursing. The downsizing of income to retirement size was easy to visualize with my pressure relief group, who assisted me in creating a retirement spending plan. With my revised plan and 9 years of rehearsal directed by using the DA tool, I am now maintaining my solvency as a retiree. What a joy to know that I am enough and God provides abundantly so I can be a blessing to other people. There is enough. I'm prosperous and thankful. I want to share with DA and others. My feeling of prosperity is my ability to thrive on what I have today as a retiree. My abundance is from God. I am grateful for the simplicity in which my daily needs are met. I can be generous when sharing my experience, strength, and recovery. I can be generous when sharing my time, my energy, skill sets, and money with DA and other groups. To continue to lead my life in serenity and without compulsive debting chaos and drama, I need to be willing to step aside from my self-centered focus to be able to practice patience, understanding, and compassion for others as well as myself. This is an act of humility for me. Because of what has been so generously given to me by God and through Debtors Anonymous, I continue the service circle, which I visualize as having the following spokes. So this is a graphic. The picture is a circle. One of the spokes is thankfulness for what I have been given. Second spoke is sharing what I have received with others. And the third is receiving joy from my service. That joy leads me back, as the wheel rotates around, to being thankful. So it's thankful, sharing, receiving, back to thankful. DA's Tool 11 describes the levels of service, where we can participate locally, with our inner group, with world service. Within each of these three levels, there's a beautiful bouquet of service opportunities that seem to be almost limitless. You can start your service circle by sharing your experience, strength, and hope today. My example is, keeping my imperfect recovery to myself, perfectionism is one of my character defects, but keeping my recovery to myself is far less fulfilling than the benefits that I receive by living honestly and sharing my personal process of DA recovery. This recovery of service has rippled out from my novice state 12 years ago when I joined DA, and it was my first 12-step program. I learned to show up and participate at two meetings every week. I had PRGs. After 2 years of attending local meetings, I started rotating through the officer position. The ripple effect of giving back to DA picked up energy as I understood that God was blessing me so that I could be a blessing to other debtors. My service opportunities in DA are abundant. Currently, I have two sponsees who remind me daily to be humble in acceptance of my spiritual reprieve from debting. As a GSR for the past 4 years, I have been blessed to serve as the chairwoman for 2 years of the New Jersey, Eastern Pennsylvania, Delaware, DA intergroup that covers 13 fellowships. This past year, my growth opportunity came from the challenge of tripling rent charges for the venues that we had been using for our semi-annual share-a-day event. These opportunities where we got people together to share their experience, strength, and recovery on specific topics. During this trying time of trying to find a venue that we could rent with the money that we had in our spending plan for intergroup, I exercised regularly step 3, making a decision daily to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. This step dovetailed with concept 12, placing principles before personalities. Higher power brought together the details of the two share-a-day events and brought people to share their experience, strength, hope, and recovery. Our share-a-day events did not generate this year funds for scholarships to send representatives to the World Service Conference, but we did break even. And a new ad hoc committee is investigating tax-exempt status for our intergroup. So it's all for the good. My recovery has been infused by world service because I have been generous with my time and energy to commit to a 3-year term of participation in service to Debtors Anonymous. Via generous scholarship money, I have participated as a delegate in the World Service Conference August 2016 and 2017 in Dallas and 2018 in Minneapolis. My commitment runs through July of 2019 of being a member of the World Service Intergroup Caucus and the World Service Resource Development Committee. Serving at the World Service level is exhilarating and humbling at the same time. Reading the DA Manual for Service, DAMS, has been educational. Learning to use it as a guidebook and a reference has been very helpful, and sharing it with other people make me smile. We just have a wealth of information in our DAMS book. At WSC, the 12 DA concepts came to life. They just sort of like popped off the page. Hearing them read prior to the World Service convocation gave the delegates a solid framework to operate within. Participating in the World Service convocation, that's our business meeting at the international level, as a voting delegate was an awesome experience and responsibility to vote the group conscience. Having a parliamentarian to interpret our meeting in real time using Robert's rules so that we could function democratically was a precious gift. Participation in minority opinion changed the vote, and that was a very powerful experience for me. I would encourage everyone to stop and think, where are they comfortable giving service to DA? Are they ready to stretch and grow and take their service commitment to a new level? There are many opportunities that each one of us, given our time and our talent, can be of service to other people. In giving to others, much has been given back to me. In closing, I would like to say the power of generosity is what keeps the circle of service moving forward. Freely God has given to me from his infinite supply so that freely I can give back to others. May you also experience higher powers, abundance, and prosperity. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much for your powerful share, Linda. This is Diana, host of this call. A quick comment to the two following speakers. When I mute the group, please *6 to unmute yourself personally so that we can hear your qualification, but that will also allow me to mute the background noise as people dial in. So sorry for the inconvenience, folks on the call, for this first chair. I'm going to mute the group now and take a moment to introduce Bill B. for the second 20-minute qualification on this call. But hold on one second. Bill, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'm going to mute the group background noise now, and if you could *6 yourself to share, that would be fantastic. Thank you so much.
This
My
is Celia. Can you
to
hear
be
me?
Muted in the background noise, guys. I'm sorry. Bill, if you could just go on, that would be great.
And can you hear me? This is the timekeeper, Celia. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yay. Okay, great. Bill, would you
Diana,
like any set time?
If you try it again, I think it did work. But if you try
it
one
great.
More time.
Okay.
Yeah, Celia, maybe a 2-minute warning at the end.
Okay, great. Will do. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Bill Odetter. And thanks to RDC for putting this on in your service to the fellowship. Thanks to DA, I have not incurred unsecured debt since April 15, 2001. And I hope and know that actually that hopefully will be the date for the rest of my life, because debting really was a life or death situation for me. And I want to give a big welcome to all the newcomers that might be on the phone. And even the others have been around a while. I think we all remember what it was like to be a newcomer. When I first came into DA, life was completely out of control. I was extremely stressed. I had over $50,000 on credit cards. My marriage was in bad shape. I was working for a company that really was a very kind of toxic work environment. And actually, I found out about DA a couple of years before I made it to the first meeting. But I had real problems with time or scarcity around time. And I would leave for the meeting about 5 minutes before it was starting, and it's 20 minutes away, so I said, oh, I'll go next week. Well, did that a few times, but it needed to be, you know, I guess I needed to have hit a deeper bottom, but finally I came crawling in the rooms, and thankfully there were people there and sharing their experience and hope, and I'm really heartened now, too, that there's, with technology, you know, we're able to reach the debtor who still suffers. I mean, I have the benefit of face-to-face meetings, so I really appreciate what the World Service Conference and everyone in VA who does service for the phone intergroup internet meetings is doing to reach the debtors who still suffer. So, as I mentioned, you know, life was horrible. Came in. Okay, let's see if they came back. I heard it muted. I just showed up, you know, and I think I got started getting the recovery from osmosis and hearing the experience, strength, and hope of others, and started doing service at my meeting level, and started experiencing one of the huge miracles of DA is having serenity around my money years before I paid off the debt. Because when I first walked in the rooms, I was hoping just like figure out this credit card thing, get it paid off, and boom, go on with my life. I had no concept that it was a spiritual solution. But I've come to realize, you know, that's what really the power of this program is. I actually was tracking my numbers a couple years before coming into DA, so the tool of record keeping is a breeze for me, but what I've come to realize is without the steps and without the direction of higher power, you know, I was using that tool to feed my disease. So I know this is much more than 12-tool program. It is a spiritual 12-step program, and for that I'll be forever grateful. Years went on, and I had my PRGs and found a sponsor and worked the steps and did local service, then did service at the Northern California Intergroup. Then a few years later, I volunteered as a GSR and did fundraising and made it to the World Service Conference. And, you know, the first year was a pretty overwhelming experience. But, you know, I stepped up to do service there as the secretary. And then the next year, I got a really quick lesson in Robert's Rules of Order. I was the only returning member of RDC, and the first order of business is electing officers. And so as the only returning member, I had to run the meeting to elect the chairperson. And as I went around the room looking for volunteers, all the eyes were on me. So I guess higher power wanted me to be chairperson. So, stepped up to did that, and it was a wonderfully rewarding but challenging experience. And it's sort of true of all my service in the program. I've never really felt qualified to take on the service positions that I have, but I guess higher power felt I was ready, and higher power pulled my arm into the air, and I'm so glad that's the case, because it's service, you know, has been just invaluable in my recovery, and it's an integral part of working the steps. And I don't think you can work the steps fully without doing service. And let's see. So around that time, too, that I was in RDC and got more clarity about what DA's finances as a whole were, I started donating directly to the General Service Office. I did the best I could, and then I guess let me back up a second. Years before that, even I noticed how people were putting a dollar in, but they were, it was really tight for the meeting to make to be solvent. And I heard one of the recordings from the fellowship days, where someone talked about doubling your dollar or thriving with five. So I started putting $2, and then shortly thereafter started putting $5 in the basket. And that was, it was tough. I mean, I still had tens of thousands of dollars worth of credit card debt still. It was still really tough just to make, my spending plan every month. Things were tight, but I just trusted the process, which was one of my favorite phrases with my first sponsor. And, put the $5 in and trusted there will be enough, and higher power, doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And as Linda Weiss said, earlier, you go half, if you make a step and higher power will meet you more than halfway, and certainly found that to be true. So then back to giving directly to the GSO, I started doing that. That felt challenging, and over the years I built it up to giving $150 a month to the GSO, and so that's $18 a year, and I recently just upped that to $2,000 a year. And my wife and I do mostly a joint spending plan, and about 15% of our spending plan is to charities, and when I started in DA, it was, probably less than 1%, and that seemed hard. And now, this whole Promise 7 and Power of Generosity, it's like it's hard not to be generous. And, just that whole transformation is thanks to DA. Let's see, let me think for a second. I guess back to, the seventh promise, it starts off, we will recognize that there is enough. And, first reading of that to me was just money. But really enough, there's enough time, there's enough love, there's enough money. Those are just invaluable. It's so much more than just money. And the DA program has been so much more than just money for me. And I kind of mentioned at the start how time was really challenging for me. It was late to the meeting, and it took me 2 years to actually get in the room. And I had this real scarcity around time. It would drive me crazy if I was, 10 seconds early to an event. I would just be like, oh, my God, I've wasted 10 seconds. And so, of course, you can't cut it that tight, and I was often late, but through the years of the program and working the steps, I was fortunate to be willing to have a more prosperous relationship with time and be willing to show up early. I definitely don't get to every event on early, but I do way more than before. Get to places early, not have to rush through traffic. And if I'm there early, I have time just to breathe and connect with higher power, and it just is a much more serene life. And don't let me kid you, though. There's plenty of stress in my life, but this is so much better than it was. And love, just being able to allow higher power's love and love of family and friends and people in the fellowship, it's just amazing. Early on in the reading that Diana did, is talked about sometimes we, before the program, we'd spend our money on others, and that was true for me, to hope, hoping to buy their love, and that was a real dead end. And now, get to experience genuine love and, giving love without strings attached, and that's a whole new found freedom. And, you know, then the money side, I was in the program for at least 10 years before I paid off my debt, but I'm so glad that it took me a long time, because if I had paid it off quickly, like I had hoped when I walked in the rooms, I probably would have left the program and missed the true riches that being in DA has done for me. I think, you know, the continuing on with the seventh promise, it says our resources will be generous. And resources, I know, has just become so much more than just financial resources. For me, one of the profound resource is compassion. And as Linda said, compassion and patience. But those, you know, were in short supply before coming to DA. And, you know, it's still, when I can get caught up in my own stuff and self-will, and, you know, but when I'm more connected to higher power and, you know, present, then I can truly have compassion for others and with their different struggles, and patience for things that take time, and, you know, appreciation for all that I have, which, you know, is just a completely different life than prior to DA. And, you know, time is a huge resource, and it's that, you know, includes patience again, but, you know, listening and giving of service, both within the program and outside the program. And, you know, part of my time in DA was switching from being an employee to being self-employed and getting the support of Business Debtors Anonymous through that. And, you know, from day one, considered my business just to be service to my clients, and that change of perspective, you know, has made all the difference. And I guess one more thought before, well, first I want to, well, not first, but back to the RDC and who's sponsoring this call. I want to thank you again for making this happen, and congratulations on the huge success in getting the word to DA out, and the increase in donations. And, you know, at my first World Service Conference, and, you know, they're giving you the rundown of how it works and the committees. And I listened to the list, and it's like, oh, okay, I'll pick anything but resource development. The last thing I want to do is have to ask people for money. So, of course, that's what higher power said. You better go to that committee, and I'm so glad I listened to higher power's will and not my own will. And, you know, and, yeah, generous, and give it to share them with others and with DA. So, you know, it just really has been my honor, pleasure, benefit to be able to share with people in the program and outside the program. And it certainly wouldn't have been possible for all the people that did service, that, you know, started the program, kept it going, and that are keeping it going now. So I am forever grateful for you, and I'm looking forward to hearing the shares from the folks on this call. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Diana. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Thank you so much for your share. For your share, Bill, that was really, really powerful, and for your courage, strength, and hope in the program, and your long involvement with the RDC. Tom, are you on the line? Tom B?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, I'd like to introduce you to the listeners at large. Thank you for being here, and why don't you take a moment and give Celia, our timekeeper, your, you know, what you would like in terms of notice.
Yeah, a two-minute wrap-up would be great.
Okay, can you hear me, Tom?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Great. I'm Tom. I'm a debtor.
and I'm from Los Angeles. Thank you so much to Diana and the Resource Development Committee for inviting me to speak and for hosting this wonderful call on this wonderful subject. I'd like to apologize to everyone for the lack of instructions for running the call, but these calls, we've got a new process we're doing, and these podcasts are new, and we're working out the bugs, and it should run smoothly in the future. So I just wanted to read again Promise 7. We will recognize that there is enough. Our resources will be generous, and we will share them with others and with DA. I am a Class A GSB trustee, and Class A means I'm a debtor. I am in multiple programs. DA is my third program, but I've got 10 years in DA now. And I just kind of wanted to talk about prosperity and generosity and the different ways that we can contribute to a program that saves our lives and to the whole 12-step model, you know. Of course, like most people, before finding my way into the 12-step rooms, I was selfish. I was self-centered. I was dishonest to other people. I was dishonest to myself, worst of all, because I couldn't even tell what my honesty was. I operated on fear. I definitely grew up, and my modus operandi was that there's not enough. I coveted everything, pretty much. Growing up, I felt there wasn't enough. I remember pretty older, like sixth grade, I had a friend, and I made a new friend, and we were biking, and he had two pieces of candy, and he gave me one. And I was just like, who would do that? You know, like, what? It just blew me away, because none of my friends would do that. I wouldn't do that. I thought that was crazy. It really was like a new concept to me, you know? We grew up in a family where we heard not enough a lot. And it wasn't just about money, but it was like, you know, not enough beauty, not enough popularity, not enough, not smart enough. The papers were never good enough, you know. And specifically, one of my parents just grew up with so much deprivation. And in fact, my grandmother, she had schizophrenia, and then at the end, she had dementia. And when we would go to visit her, she would just say over and over, I want money, I want money, I want money, I want money, you know? And that kind of was a disease that I inherited, you know? And, you know, I think the important thing is, like Bill was saying, like prosperity, when I was asked to share, I was like, gosh, I don't know. Like, am I thriving, you know, financially? I always go to the money. Am I fulfilling this promise financially? And in many ways, I am, you know. But as far as meeting certain earning levels that I would like, I'm not. I still struggle with money. But I heard a share this morning, and Bill was saying that prosperity is more than just what's in our pocketbook, you know. And the minute I heard that, I was like, wow, you know, I have entered a phase the last year where I feel prosperous. Like, I just feel like God is giving me such a beautiful schedule. I have a lot to do. I have a lot of social connections. I schedule really amazing time for myself to go and do really enriching events. And I have great meetings with people with great conversations. And I'm still hopeful. You know, I'm doing my program and doing my PRGs and taking my numbers and meeting with my sponsor and doing the steps again in this program a new way. And I know that before that really healed a lot of my debting behaviors, and I know it's going to just keep working that way. When I came into program, actually right before I came into DA, but I had gotten sober, I started volunteering at a children's hospital. And it is something I'd always wanted to do throughout my whole life. I was 41. And I finally just was at a place in my life where I just felt, like, why am I waiting on this? You know? Like, just do it now. You've got to change your life. Your life that you've lived it before hasn't worked. And I think a lot of times we do start some of recovery before we get, I think we have to start some recovery before we get in the rooms. There has to be a certain awareness and a certain willingness to understand that we're powerless and things are unmanageable. And the idea that there could be a higher power as represented by 12-step recovery. So this was one of the places where I think I was starting to step towards 12-step recovery. And it was so amazing. It really was like such a salvation to be in that hospital reading stories to these kids because, you know, I saw people whose level of suffering was so much greater than mine, you know. And it really made me humble. And I don't think I would have been humble otherwise. And it really got me out of my head. Like, I was just, when you know how we are when we enter, it's like, my problem, my problem, my problem, my problem. And I couldn't even think of my problem. And that was such a blessing, you know, to just get out of my head. And I also saw in service that I have a certain aptitude. Like, I really took to it. I did well. And that's something that right away in my first program, I started doing service. And again, I had an aptitude for it. I wore it well. It doesn't work for everyone. You know, some people have trauma in that environment. And I certainly experienced in early service that there was very difficult, it triggered me on so many levels. In fact, I'll tell you, one of the first times I was at a business meeting, we had a business meeting to vote whether to open a window or not. And I didn't care either way, but I picked a side, and my side lost. And I just felt furious. I was, like, so upset that I lost. And I was like, I'm never coming back. And, like, an hour later, I called my sponsor, and I let my sponsor know my reaction. And it was like, wow, you have some stuff to work through, you know, with being in relation to people. Obviously, I'm not going to be functional in the world if I am that reactive to a situation that I don't even care about, you know. So it was through the grace of working with a sponsor and bringing those moments in service to them and using it as a means of working through my character defects that I was able to move forward in service. And I actually did join the Board of Trustees in that program. In that program, I was doing my 9th step amends, and I had a lot of financial amends, which was one of the reasons I started DA. And I had to make amends to my sister. And one of my character defects in the ways I had hurt her was that I was always the person that showed up without money, and she would always take care of me. She would pay for my dinners. I wouldn't have to pay her back. She would pay for vacations, you know, like certain like hotel rooms. We'd get there and it'd be like, I don't have any money, you know? I was completely irresponsible, you know, and really entitled and really expected the world to take care of me. So it was a blessing to be able to pay her back money that I thought I owed her. And then to start, you know, the first gesture I made was to treat her to a really nice dinner out to a restaurant. And crazy enough, our roles in our family and in our lives switched right at that point. And from then on, she was suddenly needing my help financially. And I found myself regularly paying for her meals. And that went on for several years. And it was like such a beautiful way to give back, you know, and to actually start being a charitable person. It did get to a point where I felt I was enabling her. And we had to have a discussion where I wasn't always going to be there to give her money. And that was so difficult because she had been there to enable me and always give me money whenever I needed it. And so it was really painful to set that boundary with her, but I knew it was part of recovery, you know? And our lives have changed, and I can tell you for a long time we didn't go in on Christmas presents together for that reason. And this is the first year where we have been doing our holiday presents together, and where it's been we're equal. We've found a kind of balance in the way that we use funds together. I learned early on that, you know, when I entered DA, that we do our numbers, and you see the different columns for how we spend our money, And at the top of it, I think it's 13 different items that we spend our money on. And the top is spirit, spirituality. And included in spiritual is our seventh tradition, as well as tithing. And that's more than just a random order, you know. I was told that that order is in order of importance. And in an ideal world where you have unlimited funds, you would be spending the most money on the first column, spirit. So I'm not there yet. I don't know too many DA people who are there yet. But it does mean that with my pressure relief group, the two people that I sit down with who help me with my finances and who set up a spending plan, we allotted a certain amount per month for me to spend on spirit. And for me, that's mostly seventh tradition. I haven't always met that amount. And to me, that's my value. What I value, I want to even spend more in my spirit column because that's what I value in life. So I do nowadays, I thrive with five. I always give five at a meeting if I have it on me. And I can tell you, there's another thing about that it feels a little uncomfortable sometimes when people can't afford money or when they can only afford $1 or $2. I go to a meeting in an area where that's the case. And I feel uncomfortable sharing more money than the norm, you know? It's an uncomfortable place for me. And that's something I can look at my spending plan and look at my values and put these principles into action in all my affairs, and I can give that money, you know? And it's not about setting an example for people or anything. It's just about me and my relationship with myself and with my higher power. Charitable giving is more than just financial giving. It's also service. And just by showing up to a room, everyone is being of service. That is worth so much to have people in a room, to have people working on their recovery. It's worth it to each of us as a debtor, but it's also worth it to the world because the more we get people who have recovered from this disease, and I think we're kind of, in a way, we're outliers, you know, because a lot of people can use credit cards and other types of debting healthily, in a healthy way. And I'm not saying that all credit cards, I'm not getting into that. But what I'm saying is that there is a lot of, I would say, practices that maybe don't serve humankind in the best way that are related around money, you know? And the more we get recovered people and the more we grow as a fellowship, the more we can make it easier for people to function financially. And I think there is, a lot of people in this world, whether or not they're debtors, I think they are in a lot of pain by the way that they function financially and by what money means to them. I want to talk about just being generous, you know? So there's generosity with money. And charitable contributions are so important. You know, they help us run DA. I've visited other fellowships that have 8-digit incomes, you know, and that's what they spend. In 12-step, we spend what we bring in. We have a prudent reserve, but the rest is all goes to services for the people in the program and for people that outside the program who might want to learn about the program. So, you know, right now in DA, we're like an early debtor who's still just making it. You know, we do have a prudent reserve. Sometimes we run a little bit of a deficit. And we are kind of offering really basic services. You know, we've got office staff, and we need that office staff. We've got an office. We've got a world conference where we come together as a group and we make decisions on behalf of the fellowship about how we move forward. One of the concepts talks about concept 12 talks about being being wary of perilous wealth. And before DA, of course, that was it. I wanted perilous wealth, you know. And I really envied all those millionaires and billionaires who just seemed like they had the world at their fingertips. I thought that's what life was about. And that's really a place of wanting that, of not having faith in a higher power to meet one's needs, you know? So the concept of no perilous wealth means that we don't accumulate wealth for the sake of accumulating wealth, you know? If wealth happens to come in because higher power grants us that level of contribution, then it goes out. It goes into free literature for groups that haven't heard about DA and need to hear about DA. It goes into translating literature to other languages so we can spread the message worldwide and help the still suffering debtors in those countries. It goes to literature development. We have a magazine, you know, a website. We have an office, you know, and we oversee the office. Right now we have a board of trustees, and we're mostly what's called a working board. And an ideal board is a strategic board. Now, this board does have many moments where they work on strategic goals. But most of the time, every member of this board of trustees does the actual work of the fellowship. Now, in other fellowships that are more abundant, the board only works on strategic matters, of fulfilling the mission and helping the principals thrive, helping the organization itself thrive in following the principles. Right? And we're kind of like, you know, VDA talks about one of the signs of being a business debtor is that you do everything yourself for your business, you know? And so it would be great to raise the level of contributions so that we can start to hire more special workers who are professionals, because a lot of us on the board, you know, we might be in charge of certain things like the website right now, but we don't have all the knowledge that would really help move us forward to where we want to go. There's also, besides money, of course, and financial contributions, there's service. And I would always learned, you know, it's very easy, I think, for debtors to be like, this should be different. This should be this way. They should do that that way. They should fix that. And I was taught that if you see something that you want changed, higher power is giving you that perspective because you're the one to do it. And it's like that quote, you know, we are the change that we are seeking. So a lot of us, I think, when we think about service, and not all of us, I think
Tom, that's 2 minutes.
Of us,
you have 2 minutes left, Tom.
Yeah. So I think when we think about doing service, especially world-level service, a lot of us are like, oh my, it's like a weight, you know? Like, how do we lug our time? How do we balance our time to manage, you know, the kind of responsibility that's needed for doing service, especially at the world level? And I've always just turned it over to higher power. Like, if higher power wants me in this role, higher power will manage my schedule, right? I don't have to wear that chain. I can show up to service in a generous manner. And I think a lot of times we see people in service positions and it feels like they have a chain around them, and they realize that they're functional and they're able to do that position. And you see them become more generous and more outgoing, and you see the changes that happen as a result of that service. I'll just give you one quick incident. For some reason, whenever I do a service commitment, I'm always asked in my career to do what I just learned. And just 2 weeks ago, we had something with the website where it was something to do with HTTPS versus HTTP, which is a secure connection. I didn't know anything about it. So 2 weeks ago, I learned all about it. And then I was just at my job, and my boss was talking about, it brought up that exact issue. And it happened at a moment where I was feeling very insecure at my job. And like, I don't deserve to be in this job. And then my boss brings up this subject that I just learned about in service 2 weeks ago. And I was able to tell him all about it. And immediately, I'm just so thankful for Debtors Anonymous for giving me service, really, so that I can grow as a person, I can grow among fellow debtors, I can give to my family and make living amends to all the people I've harmed. I can continue to giving contributions to charitable organizations throughout the world, you know, every year. I can give every year to Debtors Anonymous whatever I haven't spent on my spending plan allocated to my spiritual column category. And I can do service which helps the still suffering debtor. And part of that still suffering debtor is the part of me that is still suffering. And that is how I help myself, is by helping others. We really do have to give it away to keep it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so, so much. Thank you, Tom. And thank you to all our speakers for joining us this afternoon. This is Diana B., host of the meeting. And before I turn off the recording and turn the meeting over to the listeners for feedback and shares, I must make a DA 7th tradition announcement. Here we go. Every DA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. You may contribute to the fellowship in two ways. One, by mailing your check to the DA-GSB, that's what you make it out to, DA-GSB, at the mailing address DA General Service Office, P.O. Box 920888, Needham, Massachusetts, 02492. Or you may make an online contribution using a United States debit card by going to the website debtorsanonymous.org, click on the Make a Contribution option found at the top of the page, and then once it takes you to the list of ways to make a contribution, you can click on Contribute Online, where it'll ask you to fill in your debit card information. Please also take note that Debtors Anonymous is a 501c3 tax-exempt corporation, and your donations to it may be tax-deductible. And DA, just as a sidebar, DA limits individual contributions to a maximum per year of $12,000. Which was voted on at this summer's World Service Conference. So at this time, hopefully, I will turn off the tape recording and turn on the ability for people to share. So bear with me, if you will. First, I'm going to turn off the recording.